here at the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, 1310 KFKA AM. Talking Colorado State football right now. This is Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and I'm filling in on the whole show here for Brady Hole, who is taking a well-deserved vacation. Hopefully he's out doing something fun, playing golf or at the pool or up on a lake or camping, hiking, I don't know. Hopefully something that will be both relaxing and kind of allow him to regroup and come back here with even more energy when he returns. He's a pretty energetic guy anyway, so shouldn't be a problem. Anyway, we're talking a little bit, Colorado State, looking at the roster, who's back, who isn't before the break, but had a question come in over on the during our break, thank you, and the question was, should we be concerned about Colorado State's special teams this fall, given that they still don't have a true special teams coordinator? That is not something that Steve Addazio has wanted to do. He has always said he handles special teams himself as a head coach. And last year, the results, whether it was because of that or other things, were clearly disastrous. Colorado State basically lost two football games, specifically the last two games of the season, because of their poor special teams play. They had three kicks blocked for and recovered or returned for touchdowns in one game at Boise State. They end up losing 52-21. That's a brutal to try to recover from, and it was just everything that could go wrong went wrong for the Rams on special teams that day. They had a punt blocked, recovered in the end zone. They had a field goal attempt blocked. I can't remember what the other, I think it was two punts blocked, maybe two field goal attempts. I'd have to go back and look at the details. But nevertheless, three kicks were blocked that resulted directly in touchdowns, and another set up a touchdown later in the game, another special teams miscue. So not a good thing for the Rams at all in a game at Boise State that they otherwise might have had a chance to be competitive for a change at Boise State on the blue turf, where they have never won. In fact, Colorado State has never beaten Boise State in football. It will happen one of these days, maybe this fall, who knows. But the final game of the season, granted, it's 3 weeks later because of some COVID cancellations in between, but they're playing at San Diego State, which was really in Carson, California, instead of in San Diego, because the Aztecs are having a new stadium built and we're playing their home games 100 miles north. Anyway, at that game, they give up two kick returns for touchdowns, one on a punt, one on a kickoff, and then another one that sets up a score that is returned almost for a touchdown. All of a sudden, you know, there's three scores in a game that they lost 29-17. It's very easy to think they could have won that. So, yes, I think college football teams that don't have special teams coordinators are making a big mistake. That's my personal opinion. Steve Addazio doesn't believe so. He believes the issues had more to do with a lack of attention to detail by the players, maybe shuffling, moving guys around a little more because of some COVID quarantines, things like that. Guys didn't get as much consistency in practice, didn't get as much consistency on game day, didn't get to really know what they were supposed to do on each of those special teams. So he did not hire a special teams coordinator. He still is overseeing it himself as the head coach. He does have different assistants that are responsible for different segments of the game. You know, the defensive coordinator's got, or defensive line coach might have this segment, the linebackers coach this segment, etc. We saw that. Mike Bobo tried that 1 year on his staff, too, and it didn't fare any better. The Rams struggled, too. They weren't quite as bad as last season, but it was not a good formula. So Steve Addazio believes that they can do just fine this way, and we'll see. I don't think they can be any worse on special teams in 2021 than they were in 2020. So anything's bound to be an improvement. It's going to be very interesting to see. The one thing they do have going for them, as we kind of jump back into maybe a little roster talk, and we'll continue that not only this segment, but maybe a little bit into the next segment, but is they have a great, great punter who is back yet again. Ryan Stonehouse, he's the school's career leader in average. The guy has been one of the best punters in the country since he came in as a freshman, and he's still here for another year. So that's a great thing for Colorado State to at least have that part of the game set. They're a little bit dicier at the kicking game with the kickers. Robert Liss is probably going to be your starter this year. He was the main guy last year. He and Caden Camper, though, kind of went back and forth a little bit. I'm thinking Robert Liss is probably going to be your primary kicker this year. And then as you look into the return game, who knows? You always find some guys there. But Dante Wright as a punt returner is kind of entertaining. I like getting that guy the ball in open space. They like to use him on punt returns, kick returns. The other guy they're going to use that way a lot, Thomas Panunzio. These are two really good, speedy guys that have some moves. And so I do think that we're going to see some excitement at different times in the return game for Colorado State this year just because of the way those two guys are able to play. I think they're both really, really good at it. And then, a guy we didn't really get to see a lot last year because of some quarantines and other things, Ty McCullough is also a punt returner. He's a speedy receiver that really didn't get to do anything and then was stuck behind some great receivers before that. I'm really anxious to see what Ty can do in a real breakout year. He's a guy that came in with some real talent, and I want to see what he can do. Anyway, as we go back and look again, good receivers not going to do you any good if you don't have a quarterback that can get them the ball. So we're going to see. That's going to be the biggest question mark for Colorado State's football team in 2021 is who is running the offense and how effective they can be. They really, really, really are talking up Todd Senteo, the coaching staff. As I said last segment, Steve Addazio sees him as having some Tim Tebow leadership qualities in him, kind of that competitive fire, that win. Unfortunately, CSU fans saw that he also had maybe a Tim Tebow arm, which wasn't the greatest thing. If he's got Tim Tebow legs and can run the ball a bit, that'll be okay. Hopefully he can throw better than that. Trey McBride told me during spring ball that he has a way better arm than anybody gave him credit for, that he throws significantly better than what we saw in his limited appearance in those four games last year. So I that's a good thing, hopefully, because Trey McBride is a guy you're going to want to get the ball to, whoever your quarterback is. Trey McBride out of Fort Morgan, 6'4", 260-pound future NFL tight end. There is no doubt in my mind that guy is the real deal. He is so fun to watch when he catches the ball, and he is so hard to bring down when that ball's in his hands. But he's flattening guys when the play's on the other end of the field as a blocker, too. He just loves football, and he plays hard every snap. You want guys like that. So whoever's getting him the ball, whether it is Todd Senteo, whether it becomes Matt Vellace, the transfer from Boston College, who's showing up, who should be there on campus now working with him this summer, we'll see. But those two guys are probably going to battle it out. Had a couple freshmen that were here in the spring. At least one of them, Luke McAllister, already left and is enrolled at Hutchinson Junior College. So we'll see how that goes for him. He clearly didn't go right in the spring for him or where he thought he was going to fit in on the depth chart. I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it. Coaches haven't commented on it because we haven't had a chance to talk to them. Steve Addazio has been hard to reach over the last couple months between various things going on, including June, where he's recruiting and recruiting hard again, as we talked about earlier in the first hour today. So anyway, the run game is what the Rams are going to hang their hat on. That is really what they're counting on. They've got both of last year's leading rushers back, Marcus McElroy and Ajon Vivens, the two who were teammates at Mullen High School in Denver. McElroy's a little bit older, but they were both there together. And then we've got another transfer coming in, and that'll be an interesting thing to see how that fits in. But I'm really curious to see how their latest transfer fits in. It's David Bailey out of Boston College, And he was a pretty legit running back for Boston College for the last couple of years. So he's got a real chance to maybe take over and maybe beat out Marcus McElroy and Ajon Vivens for that starting job. I'll be really curious to see how that goes, because he's going to already have the advantage of, you know, there's three of the starters on the O-line are guys that were at Boston College as well, the middle of your offensive line, and those guys are all back again and really forming the core. You've got Cam Reddy as your center, and he's a big-time player who really got better as the season went on. You've got Adam Karutz at one guard and Elijah Johnson at the other guard. All three of those guys were together at Boston College. They came in here, and they join. Then on the tackles, you get two guys that were here at Colorado State with the previous staff and doing well. Barry Wesley, once a walk-on, who has become a really, really solid college football player, and I think he's got NFL potential big time. First of all, he is big. He's 6'7", 310. But he's also very athletic and has shown it. And then at the other tackle spot, you've got Keith Williams, who's another guy that's been really kind of developed. He came in a little bit skinny, honestly, for a tackle, and he's really built himself up in the weight room and become a legit tackle. And, you know, he's also 6'7", 300 pounds. He's a big, big guy. So it'd be really interesting to see how that works. That offensive line is going to be huge. The receiver spots, you know, we talked about Trey McBride. You've got Dante Wright. We talked about Ty McCullough. E.J. Scott, let's not forget about E.J. Scott. He's a guy that's been a pretty big, solid receiver for the Rams when he hasn't been hurt the last couple of years. If he can stay healthy, he could maybe, you know, be right there as one of these great Colorado State receivers. I don't think they're going to throw the ball nearly as often as they did in the past. And when they do, you know they're going to go to the tight end a little more often, because not only do they have Trey McBride, but they get Cam Butler back as another tight end. So double tights are going to become the norm on that Colorado State offense, I think, because Cam Butler and Trey McBride, you really don't want to take too many snaps with one of those guys on the bench. The combination of them is just too good not to put them both on the field together at the same time. So anyway, very much looking forward to what this offense is going to become. John Budmeyer, the offensive coordinator, you know, he's new to the program this year. We saw a little bit of him in the spring. They at least got a full spring practice in this year after such a short season last year. But he really likes the potential of this offense. He thinks they can do a lot of what they did at Wisconsin as far as having a kind of a ground-oriented offense, but one that's able to move the ball through the air. It's not going to be the 50-50 balance that Jim McElwain and Mike Bobo tried to have, where you threw at least as often as you ran the ball. It's probably going to be more like a 70% run, 30% pass. But John Budmeyer is pretty adamant, and Steve Addazio was too, that those passes are going to be actually more effective, they think, because they're going to be able to have the run game that's going to take some of the pressure off, so they're not forced to pass to get third and longs all the time. They're hoping to have some third and shorts every once in a while, and maybe even get some first downs, something we haven't seen a whole lot of in recent years. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm really looking forward to it. I think they have the ingredients in place to maybe be a really significantly improved offensive football team this fall. And I think they were a lot better on defense last year. So I think putting those two together, I think this team has some real potential. Time will tell, but I think there's some definite potential. Anyway, we've got to go to another break coming up here. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the defense. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to send them in to me at Kelly Lyle, KellyLyell on Twitter, and I'll do my best to answer. This is The Whole Show on KFKA.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hall Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
And we're back here on The Whole Show from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios here in Greeley, 1310 KFKA AM. This is Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and I'm filling in for Brady Hole, who's on vacation this week. We've been talking some Colorado State football, mostly because that's what I know best that anybody else would be interested in talking about on a radio show. So anyway, we were just in the last segment. We were talking a little bit about just looking at what the Colorado State roster is going to look like, kind of who is here, who isn't, players to watch, what the offense looks like. Now it's time to take a look at the defense. This is an area that is really, if you're a Colorado State fan, last year, granted, 1-3 season, nothing to be super excited about, but if there was anything positive to take out of that season besides winning the bronze boot back from Wyoming, which that alone is good enough for a lot of Colorado State fans any season ever, but also the defensive improvement. Colorado State's defense looked significantly better last season. Chuck Heater, the defensive coordinator, he was here a long, long time ago, back in the Earl Bruce era, and he has returned and is running the defense on Steve Adazio's football team and seems to know what he's doing, because the Rams were significantly better. They actually had one of the better run defenses in the country, second in the Mountain West and 12th nationally, I believe. Held opponents to 108.5 yards a game. Granted, four-game season. A little bit hard to read too much into it, but we saw some really good things, especially from the defensive front. Not only were they good at stopping the run, like I said, 108 yards a game, that's a significant improvement from what the Rams have been allowing, but they were really, really good at putting pressure on the quarterback, too. Scott Patchen, a defensive end who transferred from Miami, was actually number three nationally in sacks per game. For much of the year, he led the nation, but some of those other players got to play a few more than his four games and picked up some extras in bowl games and things like that. But Patchen had five sacks in four games, so more than one per game, and he's back and ready to really lead a defensive line. Toby McBride, Trey's older brother, three-time state wrestling champion out of Fort Morgan High School. One of the strongest men alive, I think, or certainly one of the strongest men I've ever been around. He's back. He can play both tackle or end in the way they've set up this defense. He'll line up a little bit of both at different times this year. And he's healthy enough. This staff has figured out how to help him become healthy enough that he can play. He was playing 70 snaps a game last year, whereas 2 years ago, he couldn't get in more than 12 to 20 plays a game before his back and other things gave out. So huge improvement to be able to have Toby McBride healthy and playing. He wears that unique new number that you're allowed to wear in college football, number zero. So definitely watch for him this year on that D-line. He's going to be a force. Scott Patchen wears number one. So go to the low, low end of your numerical roster for your top two defensive linemen. But, you know, they've also got Manny Jones is back. He's been a solid Colorado State defender for a number of years, and he really looked good and comfortable in this defense last year. Ellison Hubbard, another guy who's been around. Ellison is a big-time defensive tackle. He got some pressure and several sacks last year, really stepped up his game, seemed to be a good fit for this defense. Devin Phillips, still the, I believe, the only ESPN All-American or one of the top recruits ever to sign with Colorado State, maybe top 100 recruit college football. He's way up there. He's solid. He's been really good. His older brother is an offensive tackle, backup offensive tackle for the Rams, Joctavis. But Devin has been a big-time player and really was solid last year. Supposedly during spring drills, you know, we haven't gotten to see a lot of Sean Quiroga, but and I'm not even positive I'm saying his pronouncing his name right, but he finally got a chance to play some the last 2 years and has really stepped up. He is a guy right out of Denver, played at Valor Christian High School, which, as we all know, is a fairly big-time program. And when he played there, he had guys like Ed McCaffrey coaching him. So he's legit, and I'm told that he was really good this spring, so kind of looking forward to seeing what he can do. So there's not only some talent on that D-line, but there's some really good depth, because we just went through like six guys that are going to man those 3 to 4 spots, depending on exactly how they're lining up when. Oh, yeah, and I forgot about the Boston College transfer, Mike Ciafone, another guy that's going to figure in at those spots, primarily at the tackle, I believe, is where he's best. But he's a guy that certainly this coaching staff knew previously from his time at Boston College, and they really like him and believe he's good enough to fit right into the mix. And apparently during spring was right in the mix. So very interesting to see how this defense progresses. But that D-line is certainly the strength. Antoine Smith, the defensive line coach, actually told us during the spring. He said, he got asked, you know, could this line be one of the best in the Mountain West? And he kind of laughed and he goes, yes, we will not only be one of the best in the Mountain West, but we could be one of the best in the country, Power 5 conferences included. He really, really likes what he sees from these guys and their ability. And if you've got a good D-line, a lot of other things can help cover up for some other issues. But I think the Rams have improved defensively across the board. They've certainly recruited heavily in the secondary the last couple years. We're going to see that. And really, the linebackers, some very familiar names for you. I mean, DaQuan Jackson is back. He's been the leading tackler the last couple years. He's a great guy, you know, to have back and anchoring your linebacker core. Cameron Carter has played alongside him all that time. Cameron is back to do more damage back there. A guy that really kind of stepped up really late last season, all last season, a little bit late in 2019, that I think is going to make more of a mark as we move forward, is Muhammad Kamara. He was very, very good. We also had, Brandon Hickerson Rooks as a transfer. He and Kamara both sort of play that kind of flex pass rush, outside linebacker, DN type position. Sometimes they're lined up more like a DN, sometimes more like an outside backer. Both of those guys have shown that they really have the ability to not only pressure the passer, but to be pretty effective run stoppers and also to get into some shallow pass coverage and break up plays every once in a while when they need to. So you need that out of guys that are going to play that spot. So very much looking forward to how that group may play out, how that group may look as a defensive unit going forward. Tavian Brown, another linebacker that's certainly going to be a force for the Rams. I think I like to see where he fits in, but he's definitely going to play a lot from everything I'm hearing. And then you go into the secondary, and that's an area where the Rams have struggled. Last year, they were still, even with a better pass rush, they were still, 10th in the Mountain West in pass defense, allowing 250 yards a game. That's, shockingly enough, that's an improvement from where they had been, but still definitely not good enough to be a championship caliber football team. But I think they've tried to address that. You know, they brought in a transfer from Rice and Linwood Crump, a transfer from Temple and Linwood Crump. I like to get my Owls mixed up there in college football. A transfer from Temple at cornerback and Linwood Crump. Rashad Ajayi is a veteran that's back and really will kind of anchor that unit to an extent, as will safety, Logan Stewart, the safety out of Loveland, who's Mountain View High School and kind of started out. He's the one who I wrote a story about a couple years ago, told me he used to actually sell hot chocolate on game days, and he was a vendor at Hughes Stadium wishing he could be on the field playing for the Rams someday, and he is. It's not at Hughes, it's at Canvas Stadium, which he actually prefers. Nevertheless, he's going to be a big part of what they do. He's a real defensive leader. And then you look at Marshawn Cameron is back at one of the cornerback positions, another big-time player that's really going to help them out. Henry Blackburn, the safety out of Fairview High School in Boulder, my alma mater, was a big-time. He really, really looked good playing as a true freshman last year. He really had made an impact. And then I'm told that in the spring, John Howell, former NFL player, his son, Jack, John played for the Rams out of Mullen, Nebraska, was one of those success stories that came in under Sonny Lubick and did great things. His son Jack Howell, who played high school ball at Valor, is a safety that they say may actually beat out Henry Blackburn for playing time, and that's big time because Henry played really well for the Rams last year. So those are two in-state guys, along with Logan Stewart, three in-state guys that are really going to make a difference in that secondary and at least are showing some promise. Very, very feeling good about what that secondary can look like. Like I said, Marshawn Cameron is back at a cornerback. Tywan Francis is back. And you put those with the guys we just talked about, this defense has a chance to be a pretty legitimate defense and do some good things. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. They certainly have to get better against the pass because that's something that's been a problem. Last year, started seeing some better pass rush. That helps your secondary a lot when you can get some pressure and make those quarterbacks get rid of the ball a little sooner. Instead of when they stand around there all day, eventually somebody's going to get open. I don't care how good your secondary is. And if your secondary is suspect to begin with, you're going to give up big play after big play. And that's what we've seen the last several years from Colorado State's defensive secondary. Really, really personally looking forward to them getting better in that area and seeing where we're going. Again, defense overall should be a strength, and that's something I really, really want to see. And I think it's a good thing. You look at who's won championships in the Mountain West year after year after year. There's been great offensive players, certainly guys that, you know, put up the big numbers. They're fun to watch. But the teams that are winning the titles in the Mountain West have had good defenses, whether it be Boise State, whether it be San Diego State, whether it be Fresno State when they were winning. San Jose State last year, defense is still what is winning championships, even if this is kind of a pass-happy football league. The teams that are running the football effectively and playing good defense are still winning the championships, and Steve Addazio clearly sees that, understands that, and that fits his style of what he wants to be as a football team. The real question is whether he can translate that and actually make it happen at Colorado State the way that he talks about it, sees it on paper. So anyway, I think we're getting close to being able to wrap up this segment, but we got a little bit of time left after this, and when we come back to the whole show here, we're going to move on to Colorado State basketball, which is a fun topic for anybody who's been following the Rams. So this is Kelly Lyle here of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and filling in for Brady Hole on the whole show at KFKA AM.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
And we're back here on the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. This is Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, filling in for Brady Hull, who's on a well-deserved vacation this week. By the way, Ed Werder, who gave that last lead-in, good. Great guy. I knew him way back when he was covering the Broncos for the Daily Camera, and I was going to school at CU. So one of my favorites. Stay in touch with him a lot. I know his folks live in Longmont, and still talk to Ed whenever I can. So anyway, we're going to go move on, talk a little about Colorado State basketball now. That's always a fun topic for Rams fans, especially after last season. Because we've seen Nico Medved really build this program into something special and something fun to watch. I mean, the Rams went 20-8 last year, 20-win season. Even in all the weird COVID stuff, they managed to do great things. Got to the semifinals of the NIT. Is it semifinals or the final? I think the semis. I got to look. They got really deep into the NIT. It was fun to watch in the postseason. So anyway, ended up losing. Oh, they got all the way to the they got to the semis, lost to Memphis, and then played Louisiana Tech in that third place game. So nevertheless, great, great stuff to watch. Fun to look. Fun to follow the Rams in basketball. Nico Medved has brought a lot of excitement back to Moby Arena. And I don't know that there's two more fun players in college basketball to watch on the court together right now than David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens and what they bring to Colorado State. But then there's so many other guys that are the supporting cast that he has brought in around those guys has been phenomenal as you look at the Rams and what they are. I mean, you not only have Roddy and Stevens leading the way, but you get, you know, the guys that came in the year before that were going to be Nico Medved players at Drake. Kendall Moore, Adam Thistlewood, you know, they're still playing solid basketball. They're still really good. They're just not quite as good as the guys that came in that next class, David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens. But then you look and guys around them, John Tonji is a guy who really, really got better. And he was fun to watch last year. I really enjoyed the improvement in his games. James Moore is an inside guy. You know, they talked about him. He was going to be a little bit of a project when he got here. Well, he's a project that's looking like he's starting to pay off. He was really a force for the Rams at times last year in some games where they really needed him to be a force. There were a couple times where he carried them for short stretches of games, and that was fun to see. DeSean Thomas, another guy who came in and had his moments and really at different times in different games played big roles. I believe one of the wins over Boise State, he was huge early on. So they get all those guys back. Isaiah Rivera, who was, you know, newcomer to the team last year, he really showed some great, great signs of what he can become. They not only get all those guys back, but now they bring in the two Jaylens, their two signees. Out of high school, Jaylen Lake and Jaylen Scott, they're both guards, but both big-time high school players, were really good, were really heavily recruited, and they both chose Colorado State and Nico Medved in this program. And then the guy that really, really is exciting is Chandler Jacobs. The guy was a Division II All-American last year at Dallas Baptist, 20-plus points a game, I think 7.5 rebounds, something like that. You add him into this mix. The Rams, the only thing they lost in the offseason was P.J. Bird. I like P.J. P.J. played a key role at times, but I think Chandler Jacobs is going to more than make up for that because Chandler Jacobs is a big-time player, big-time scorer. Colorado State really, really made a huge jump, I think, when they got him. It was kind of interesting. All of a sudden, you know, instead of the Rams being, hey, you know, they just might be the best team in the Mountain West, it's like, oh, they're now in almost everybody's preseason top 25. When I know ESPN put them in at number 25 and they're too early top 25 or whatever they call it. But I think that's a legit expectation for this Colorado State team this coming season. It's going to be a lot of fun at Moby Arena. And, hey, fans get to come back and cheer the Rams on. And the new Belgium porch – I'm sorry, it's not the new Belgium porch at the Rams. It's a – I forget whose porch it is at the basketball arena right now. But anyway, nevertheless, you can go have a beer while you're watching the game. But the stands are going to be nuts, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to be at Moby Arena this winter. I can't wait, and this team really has some potential to do some great things in the Mountain West and maybe even on a national scale. So it's about time to head into another break here, but thanks for joining us here on The Whole Show. We got a little bit more time left after the break. This has been Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, filling in for Brady.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
And we're back here at the Auto Collision Specialist Studios with The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. This is Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, filling in for Brady Hole. We're just about to wrap up here, but major omission. And when I was just talking about Colorado State basketball, I forgot about the other great transfer they brought in, Baylor Hebb out of Loyola Chicago. So even more reason to be excited about this Colorado State basketball team as we move forward. Still waiting on a full schedule for the Rams, but we do know that they're going to be at the Paradise Jam tournament right before Thanksgiving. And that's going to be awesome to see how that goes. They're going to be in the Virgin Islands and in a tournament where they might even get to play the Colorado Buffaloes, because Colorado did not put them on the schedule this year. So the only way there will be a CU-CSU basketball game this year is either in the Paradise Jam or if somehow they were to meet in a postseason event, which is also a possibility. Who knows? Anyway, that Paradise Jam also includes Bradley, Brown, as I said, Colorado, Creighton, Duquesne, Northeastern, and Southern Illinois. Should be some good basketball for a great way to kind of really get into the season. They'll always play a couple games in Fort Collins before that, but that's going to be kind of a big early test to see where this team is. Don't know if they have one of those big non-conference games planned or not this year. I haven't seen. They might. Kevin Lytle's a little more on the loop than me on that. But anyway, very much looking forward to what this Colorado State men's basketball team will do. And again, Moby Arena, hopefully it'll be a packed house. And, you know, there was a lot of energy in that 2019-2020 season. It would be so fun to get some of that energy back again. We'll see how things work out, but it was a lot of fun when the Rams were winning and the place was rocking. Nico Medved has brought some excitement back to Colorado State basketball. Granted, he lost two of his assistant coaches in the offseason, but that's what happens when you're winning. People want to take your people. So Dave Thorson left and is now at Minnesota. And anyway, they've got a couple other guys back to fill their spots, though, so looking forward to, again, seeing what this Colorado State basketball team can do as they move forward. The Mountain West has been improving again as a conference, and Colorado State is definitely going to be right there in the mix for a Mountain West championship, regular season, hopefully postseason, and maybe finally get back to that NCAA tournament. They've been trying to get back there for a few years now, and this would seem like a team that is more than worthy of doing that. So thanks again for joining me here this for the past 2 hours here on the whole show on KFKA AM 1310. Continue to follow the Rams. Kevin Lytle and I at the Fort Collins Coloradoan or coloradoan.com will continue to bring you coverage, football, basketball, and everything else. Thanks again. Have a great afternoon.